Daniel chapter 10. It's amazing how deep the Bible is. As I've been talking to some of you about that, about how, no matter how much you read it, you still, it's like, wow, I didn't realize that. And I've, over the years, preaching this passage a couple different times, but I'm preaching on something different in it tonight, and just stuff I've, again, caught and learned is just studying it and looking at it. And it's a great chapter. I'm going to read a little bit of a lengthy passage. I'm going to read verse 1 through 14 today. It says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name is called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing, and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks, and ate no pleasant bread. Neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till the 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. In the 24th day of the first month, I was, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body was also was like the beryl, and his face, not the beryl that our bodies are like, the big round thing, beryl as in a jewel in the color. And his face, you don't know what either one is, never mind. And his face is the appearance of lightning, and his eyes is the lamps of fire. And his arms and feet were in the color like polished brass. And the voice of his words were like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision. But a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. And therefore, I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me. For my comeliness was turned into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep upon my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me and set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me one and twenty days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. Talk about Daniel, greatly beloved. Let's pray together. Lord, what a wonderful chapter this is, what a great story this is, and how much truth is in this chapter of Daniel 10, Lord. And we just come to you tonight, Lord, and we humbly come before you, knowing that we're not going to understand all those truths, we're not going to rightly divide it, and we're not going to be blessed and encouraged and strengthened and learn the spiritual things without your Spirit, Father. Many of the churches that so they have a time where somebody's going to get up there and read out of the Bible and talk, and yet things that aren't scriptural come out sometimes, Lord. And Lord, we know that's because the Spirit isn't followed and in charge, because he will lead and guide us into all truth. And Lord, we pray tonight that'd be the case. We would preach biblical truth and understand this story, and also get the vision to be like a Daniel in our own little ways. And please, Lord, help us to have an influence like Daniel, and to be spoken to in a powerful way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Daniel had just, in this chapter, in the end of chapter 9, he had just received an amazing prophecy. It was probably the greatest passage of prophecy in the entire Bible, in 4 verses in Daniel chapter 9. It's probably the most important passage of all scripture on prophecy, and the most and it's all very powerful. And in verse 24 through 27 of chapter 9, Daniel is told most everything, all the vital things about prophecy in 4 verses, but it's a big heavy weight. He's told that there's going to be 70 weeks determined upon Israel, and the weeks are sets of 7 years, so 70 times 7 years of suffering, 490 years of suffering to purge Israel for all the sin that they had done. And that's just a Bible truth, and I preached on today. But sometimes you just got to wait out your suffering for the actions you've done. And if I were you, I would not add to that if you've already done that. And if you haven't done that, I wouldn't do that, because the suffering's not worth the pain. And if you're serving God, you don't have to go through that. You get blessings coming instead of suffering. But they said the 470 weeks are to turn upon the people, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make, verse 24, to make reconciliation for iniquity. And then verse 25 talks about Messiah coming. It says, from the going forth of the commandment to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem until the coming of Messiah is going to be 69 weeks in verse 25. And then 26 talks about Messiah will be cut off after 62 weeks. Shall Messiah be cut off? What in the world does that mean? But not for himself. Well, you know what that means. Messiah is cut off, but not for himself. That means, by the way, this is written 600 years before the time of Christ. Messiah is going to be cut. Well, all they ever saw, the prophecies of the Messiah, most of them so far have just been Messiah is going to come and be ruling with the rod of iron and do all that stuff. And here comes a thing. The word cut off means killed. And all of a sudden, Daniel gets his prophecy. He says, Messiah is going to be cut off, but not for himself. Daniel says, 490 years, Messiah's cut off. We've got to suffer all this time. Messiah's coming, and after 69 weeks, and the 70th week is the time of Daniel's trouble. And then, verse 27, it says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And it goes into the abomination desolation at the end of the verse before, and then the Antichrist. In one little four-verse thing, you've got the 70 weeks of Daniel's suffering, which is the foundation of all prophecy at the end times. You've got Messiah being cut off, not for himself. You've got the Antichrist coming in. You've got the abomination of desolation, and you've got the seven-year treaty between Antichrist and Israel. And then it says, even until the end of verse 27, it says, he'll cause a sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading, that's the sacrifices in the temple, the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even to the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. And so he sees all these heavy prophecies, and Daniel is given just a gigantic dumping of the most important passage of Scripture and a whole bunch of massive, crazy information. It's crazy enough his country is going to have to suffer for their sins for 490 years. Can you imagine, we're thinking about his time, but if all of a sudden you were told America's going to suffer for 490 years? It's a long time. I mean, this country hasn't been around for that long. We've been a little over 200 years. And if all of a sudden that was told, and of course, you're going to find out the Antichrist, some future world leader, is going to come and destroy your nation, that the Messiah, who's going to be the king of the world, is going to be killed, but not for himself. And Daniel becomes very burdened at this time. And in chapter 10, he says, this thing's just too heavy for me, and it's too sad. And I need to understand this. What's going to happen here in the future? And I'm just brokenhearted about this, and everything's, it's too much. I'm brokenhearted. I need to understand more, and I need to get more to grasp all this, because it's too much in too small verses. I need it broken down and extended out. I need to understand the length of time. It just seems too long for Israel, and is it all going to happen in a short amount of time? And when does it start? And he's very, very confused, and he begins to get a broken heart about Israel and about their sin and their suffering and the time left to suffer. And Daniel does one thing that many times when people are going to be getting in the presence of God and get a message of God, he kind of gets isolated. And it's not that much the message, but he's around a group of people, but only he saw the vision in verse 7. I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. The men who were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them. So they went and fled to hide themselves. Therefore, I was left alone and saw this great vision. And Daniel was left alone. And can I tell you this? If you want to get with God and you want to get in touch with God and hear from God and really get to know God, you can do that around other people, though they won't hear from God. And do not think that everybody else around you has to be changed and hear from God. A lot of people sit there, and they're around people who drag them down, and they're around people who aren't doing what they know they should do, and people who aren't hearing from God. And they sit there, and instead of sitting there and going, okay, Lord, you're speaking to me, they're all going, why aren't you listening to God? God's speaking to us. Listen to God. And they lecture everyone around them. Take care of yourself first. If God's talking to you, listen to God. Don't sit here and get drugged down by everybody else. If you're in a situation or a household or something else where everybody's not listening to God, and God's not talking to everybody, fine. You listen to what God's saying to you. That's going to set you free. That's what God has a message for you. You are not condemned to the people you're around unless you sit around and are distracted by them all day. And many of the person who sat there and pouted because the person with them will not serve God or the people around them are dragging them down. And God's sitting there saying, listen, I'm talking to you. Go to church. I can't go to church. Everyone around me doesn't go to church. They're talking about coming to church. And then we'll go to church. So I just sit at home. That's not real bright. Sorry, how do I say that spiritually? Thou art not thinking well. You go and hear from God. The earthquake might drive them away. They might get scared when God starts speaking. That's okay. You listen to God. Daniel's left alone. You don't need everybody else to hear the message from God if you aren't listening and responding to it. Daniel said, my heart's broken. I'm listening to you, God. I just want to give you a few things. Daniel was broken heart at this point. And I just want to start off with one thing about Daniel is Daniel had a burden. In verse 2, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I want you to understand, Daniel by this time had risen to the top person in the kingdom. He could have servants around him fanning him, eat the best food in the kingdom. He could sit there and have anything he wanted. He had a plush life. He could lay there and sit there in silk sheets and enjoy life. He was a ruler, and he was number 2 in the kingdom and a greatly thought of man. And Daniel was sitting there, and he said, I am not going to eat or drink for a long time until God hears from me. And for he was mourning 3 full weeks. That's a long time. 21 days of mourning. 21 days of the broken heart. 21 days of saying, God, you've got to help me understand this. I'm just brokenhearted. I'm going to pray and I'm going to fast. I'm going to go without. I'm not going to eat any food. I'm not going to do anything pleasant. I'm just going to sit here and let you know my heart is broken and I'm mourning. I want to get your attention. Kind of like fasting does. Lord, this is so important. I'm going to fast. I want you to know. I really want you to get you understand how important this is to me. Verse 3, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine to my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 full weeks were fulfilled. He started praying because he had a burdened heart for his nation. If you go back a chapter, Daniel had a great burden for his nation, for Israel. And we could read a lot of verses on this, and we're not going to read a ton of them, but I want you to see Daniel's broken heart for his nation. In chapter 9, verse 3, and I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to him and love him and to keep his commandments. We have sinned, we have committed iniquity, we have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings and our princes and our fathers. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but in us confusion of face. Verse 8, O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings and our princes and our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of our God. And you could see Daniel's heart weeping for his nation. And as I preached in a message recently, he took responsibility for the people he was around. He took responsibility for the people he was around. And he had a broken heart for his nation, and he was broken heart about the suffering the nation was going to go through in the future, because it wasn't long before they were allowed to go back to their land and rebuild the walls, and rebuild the cities, yet he was all of a sudden 490 years of terrible suffering. He had a burden. Good Christians have joy and peace and a burden. Good Christians have joy and peace and a smile in the heart and a broken heart for something. God will move you, if you become a good Christian ever, to a burden for something. That burden is, it depends on who you are and what your calling is and who is around you and what mission God has for you. But God gives you a burden, and sometimes it's for your family, and sometimes it's for a city, and sometimes it's for a church, and sometimes it's for a nation, and sometimes it's for a world, and sometimes it's for a missionary, and sometimes it's for a ministry, and sometimes it's for bus kids, and sometimes it's for a nursing home, and sometimes it's to shake a nation. But God will give you a burden, and what you do with that burden determines if you fulfill God's call for your life, because God puts that burden in your heart, and he takes his heart for things, and he puts it into your heart and says, feel like I feel, because I need somebody to pray like I would pray if I was down there. Get a broken heart for something. And Daniel had a burden. He said, my heart is so broken for Israel, I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to sleep, I'm not going to do anything, I'm just going to weep and not eat and not take care of myself and not do anything and not anoint myself with anything, and just be miserable for 3 weeks until I get a hold of God. By the way, he didn't put an end on this thing. At the end of 3 weeks, something happened. But he immediately began to have a burden, a broken heart. What kind of burden do you have? What do you think about and you suddenly get a broken heart for? I don't mean it's pity. Oh, poor so-and-so. It's not just simply that. There's a burden that comes from God where you feel deeply about something where you just are driven to your knees about that thing, like Daniel was. You begin to feel not, oh, that poor person doesn't get anything. It's, God, I got to pray for this thing. There's a big difference between pity and a broken heart. And it's hard to explain the difference. But one thing, you feel sorry for somebody. And another thing, you say, my heart is broken for that person. And I want to see a change. By the way, if you ever want to help people, can I tell you this real, 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 real important point in helping people? If your idea is to help people, if all you're going to do is sit here and feel sorry for them and bail them out, that's not going to be enough. A broken heart and a broken heart that you've got to see them change will do different. Just feeling sorry for them and giving them $10 and they need it because they're out of gas is not going to change a life. Praying for them and weeping for them. This nation is not going to be changed until some Christians get a burden enough that they're going to fast and pray and ask God to change this nation. Seattle will be changed when somebody decides to really get a hold of God and pray for God to do a great work in Seattle. Your family will be changed if you can get a big enough burden, as we talked about on Thursday night, when there's sometimes nothing that you can do but call out to God. Daniel had a burden, and God liked that burden. He says, I like that burden. Maybe it's your whole family. Maybe it's your neighborhood. Maybe it's a ministry. Maybe you feel for poor people, or maybe you feel for America. Maybe you feel for Washington State, or maybe you feel like Open Door Baptist Church has to just see revival. Maybe it's individuals. Maybe it's for ladies, if you're a lady and you feel that burden. Maybe you have a burden for teenagers, and your heart is broken for what teenagers are doing nowadays. But let God take that burden you have and work with it. He put it in your heart for a reason. You can have joy and you can have peace and you can have a broken heart at the same time. And good Christians do that. Everyone wants to just be all the time. But you know what? There's some people out there who aren't like that, who need somebody to weep for them. Daniel had a burden. Number two, he was weakened in the war. He was weakened in the war. Chapter 10, verse 8. Chapter 10 and verse 8. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness, that's my good looks and my attractiveness and my cleanness and niceness, were turned into corruption, and I retained no strength. I want to preach on that. Comeliness turned into corruption. God will humble you before you ever are greatly used, but we don't have time. Verse 16, and I beheld one like the similitude of the sons of men touch my lips, and I opened my mouth and spake, and said to him that stood by before me, O my Lord, by the vision, my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. He literally couldn't even speak for a while, and then he got touched and said, okay, talk. And he says, I'm so weak, I can't talk. It's not just Daniel here. When you find people that are in the war for God, they get very weak. Can I tell you something? I've worked a lot of hard labor jobs. I've worked construction, and I've worked on docks, and I've worked roofing, and I've worked all kinds of tough jobs and hard physical jobs, and done everything from swinging sledgehammer to carrying boxes to all kinds of stuff. Can I tell you, that is easy compared to the spiritual war. The spiritual war is much more exhausting. Winning souls, real revival, getting on your face, praying and fighting for somebody, really weeping for somebody, trying to change a life. It's Paul says, I travail in birth until Christ be formed in you. That's how hard he's working. It's like, I'm giving birth, trying to make you turn out for God. It's not easy. And those who are fighting for God and those in the spiritual realm, it is not just a physical battle, which it is. It is not just a spiritual war, which it is. It's a soul war. It's every aspect of you, every ounce of your body, soul, and spirit is poured into trying to see that life transform, trying to see that church change, trying to see that ministry get going, trying to see miracles happen, trying to wrestle that person away from the devil, and fighting and battling and warring, and you're just battling and intense, and you just plain old get worn out. Going soul winning is exhausting. Preaching the word of God is exhausting. Praying passionately is exhausting. Having a burden and walking with God and fighting the devil, let me tell you, it's exhausting. And those who fight in that battle, which I hope is every single one of you, can I tell you, that's why we need to lift each other up. There's a reason Moses needed his arms lifted up. He was fighting. Was he swinging a sword? No. But he was the one who was fighting the devil and lifting up his arms and being there for and the person between victory and defeat. And that's what those of you, listen, it is exhausting, and he lost all of his strength. Those who are in the war need lifted up and prayed for. Those who are fighting, instead of being torn down, need lifted up. You know, you know why so many pastors are discouraged today and so many get out of the ministry? My wife and I were just talking last night and counting people we knew, just scratching the surface. You know why? Because they are in a war, and the crazy thing is they're getting shot from the devil, of course. They're getting shot in the back by Christians. Oh, you preach too hard. You didn't notice me on Sunday. You didn't pat me on the back. I'm not going to give because you're not nice. Listen, I don't got time to be looking behind me when I'm fighting. I got enough in front of me. If you want to shoot me in the back, you know what? You're going to shoot me in the back because I'm not fighting against you. Shoot away if you don't got anything better to do. But if you want something to do, I got plenty for you to do if you want to fight the devil. There's lots to do. I remember we were going paintballing for Jesus. And we were going, and we were at the youth conference. And I'm the worst guy for paintball because I'm reckless. And so I said, well, there's a building up there in between. The workers were on one side, and the kids were on the other side. And the people who ran the paintball thing was outdoors. It was huge. They said, all right, we're going to let you workers win. We're not going to let you be killed when you get shot. That sounded fun. And so I see a building in between us and them, and I do the stupidest thing in the world. I run straight toward the building and do my best Rambo yell. Ah! Shooting everything. You know, everybody's not shooting yet except for me. And now I'm the one target. And I run in that building. I jump on the side. And I'm in that thing. And now I've got all these guys in front of me, all the teenagers. And what's more fun than shooting teenagers? And so I'm looking. Well, I'm standing in front of a window behind me. I never suspected the people behind me would shoot, but there's nobody else to shoot, I guess. And all of a sudden, right in my back. And then the stupidest thing, I jump out of the way and say, hey! That was dumb. In the face. In the face mask. Listen, I was watching those teenagers out there trying to fight for them. I wasn't ready for them to shoot me from behind. Listen, you, as a Christian, please don't fight each other and tear each other down. Lift each other up. Lift me up. I want to lift you up. I don't have time to tear people down, to be honest with you. I don't got time to tear people down. I have too many people to help. I don't got time for that. Daniel was worn out. He was exhausted. He was laying there spiritually exhausted because spiritual warfare is exhausted. He said three times, I retained no strength. We just got to pray for each other. We got to lift each other up. We got to help each other when we're struggling. That is, you get weakened in the war. Number three, the touch of God will give you the strength you need. We saw in verse 8, he was exhausted. Verse 10, and behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon my hands. If you go forward and you see him get strengthened right there. In verse 18, it says, "Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened. And he said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me." He says, this angel came and said, be strong, Daniel. And the Bible says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Listen, encourage people. And by the way, the touch of God will give you strength. That's how I got to pray. There are times when humans can't give you strength. There are times when you're too exhausted and you're just alone and lonely and heartbroken and there's nobody's going to understand. And that's when we can just pray for each other, because God can touch you. God can touch you. I don't know how he does it. I don't know the explanation of what he does. And just God, and here an angel just saying, be strong, Daniel, be strong. And he says, I feel better. Wow, that was a good B12 shot. I feel great. Why? Because he was exhausted in the hand of God. Like that song, he touched me, oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that flooded my soul. Something happened and now I know. He touched me and made me whole. There are times in life when the hand of man and the strength of man and taking your vitamins and sleeping enough and all the stuff. By the way, when you really need that, you can't sleep enough and nothing's going to be good enough. We just need the hand of God to touch you. That's why we need to pray for each other. That's why we need the strength of God. That's why we got to pray for each other and lift each other up. And sometimes, though, the help of man is not enough, but the touch of God and his angels. Remember when Jesus was exhausted after the war? Remember when Jesus was exhausted after the temptation and the angels came and ministered unto him? God can send angels. He can do many things. Number four, as we're looking at Daniel, there is an unseen war. There is an unseen war. See, Daniel went and he got in his face and he said, God, I need an answer. I need to understand these prophecies. I need to understand the length of it. I need to understand if it's split up. It seems like a forever long time. I don't understand this, and I'm very confused, and my heart's broken for my nation. And he began to pray. And when Daniel began to pray, the Bible says the second he started praying, in verse 12, then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Here's what happened. Daniel prayed. He said, I'm going to fast, I'm going to pray, I'm going to weep. I'm not going to take care of myself. I'm going to chasten myself, he says. And the second he did that, God said to an angel, go down and bring him the message. Help him understand and give more prophecy. And the angel came down to go to Daniel, but Daniel was in a very wicked area. Daniel was in Persia, godless pagan area. And there was a prince of Persia, a demon, that was around Persia. And this demon, when this angel came, the demon said, you're not coming in here. You can't. And the angel said, I got a prophecy from God. I'm coming in. He says, you can't. I'm not letting you in. And for 3 weeks, Daniel was praying, and Daniel's saying, God, why aren't you answering my prayer? I need to hear from you. God was answering his prayer, but there was a war going on. And for 3 weeks, this angel could not get through, and that's why Daniel kept on praying, and that's why he kept on not getting an answer, because the answer was coming, but he had to keep praying. At the end of 3 weeks, finally, the angel said, you know what? I got to get to Daniel. I don't think he's going to make it much longer. I don't know what's going to happen here. And he said, Michael, take care of this guy for me. And Michael, the archangel, comes down and says, let him through. Well, Michael is the most powerful angel. He's the one who throws Satan out of heaven. And the prince of Persia says, okay. Okay. And the angel with the message comes through and comes to Daniel, battered, beaten, exhausted, tired probably, and says, Daniel, I'm here. And Daniel says, I'm exhausted. He says, I know, it's a war, be strong. Let me strengthen you, because I know why you're so exhausted. You've been fighting. It's one of the reasons I have that book back there in the library, This Present Darkness. I think it explains this. It gives you an idea of this spiritual warfare that's going on. Daniel is fighting for 3 weeks in this thing. You know what I think many times happens? I think this is very much the case with this church. I think what happens is you pray and God starts sending forth the victory and the soldiers and the battle and the things to come. But what I think happens, the devil, of course, fights it. And Bible says, in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Ask and ye shall receive, the Bible says. Everyone that asketh receiveth. Him that knocketh shall be opened, and him that seeketh findeth. Bible promises that. God answers prayer. And many times what happens, you pray for fruit or you pray for whatever, and all of a sudden a branch far above you starts growing heavy fruit, but it just starts sprouting out and starts growing. And you pray, and God says, keep it coming. They're still praying. Keep it coming. And the devil fights against that branch, and God blesses those fruits, and they get heavier and heavier and are coming down to you, and the blessing's coming down to you. And then you say, ah, forget it. And the branch goes, and the fruit quits growing. You say, God doesn't answer prayer. There's a reason the Bible says pray without ceasing. There's a reason you have to go to war and keep on fighting, and you have to keep on battling, because the war is going on behind unseen worlds, and things are fighting. And Daniel says, and he says right there in verse 13, he says, I was sent from the first day, but it had been 21 days. Verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days, and lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the king of Persia. Now am I come to make thee understand what shall be befall thy people, and for the latter days, for yet the vision for many days. If you go to Daniel chapter 12, Michael is an appointed angel that is supposed to watch out for Israel. That's why Israel is still a nation. It's got the most powerful being outside of God watching out for it. God has to, because every crazy loony God-hater in history, Stalin, Mussolini, Hitler, just go through the list. All the Arab nutbag, Arab terrorists, all those folks, they hate the Jews. It's biblical. They're possessed. They always want to kill God's people. And so God has to have Michael watch out for them. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, at that time shall Michael stand up, that great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, Daniel's people, Israel. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was there since a nation even the same. And at the time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that is found in the book of life. That's when the Antichrist comes and he says, Michael is watching for Israel. And Israel has all the nations of the world coming against it and trying to destroy Israel as a nation. By the way, there's no other way to explain Israel winning the war in 48 and 73 and 67 besides somebody fighting for them. Those wars don't make any sense militarily. But God says, I am going to, and by the way, when God's hand was off them, they were gone. But when God said, I'm going to protect those people, and he says, I'm going to send them. You're in a spiritual war for your family. You're in a spiritual war for this church. You and I are in a spiritual war for your soul and for my soul. We're in a spiritual war for the power of God and for Seattle. We're in a spiritual war for America. It is not won by voting booths, and it's not won by debates. It's won by the prayer closet. It's won by the power of God. It's won by somebody getting alone with God and saying, Lord, I'm going to pray. And God said, okay, I'm sending forth the armaments. And don't quit praying. Pray without ceasing. Keep on praying. But I'm praying for 2 years for them to get saved. And there's a war going on. You can't believe how much good it's doing, but it's a war and Satan's fighting against you. Keep on praying. You know, and here's the thing. You're in the middle of literally demons and angels clashing all around you. They're in this room. There's demons in this room. There's angels in this room. Jesus walking in the midst of this room. All this stuff's all in the Bible. When Elijah's servant, he says, Lord, there's more with them than with us. And he says, open his eyes. And all of a sudden he sees, remember the story? He sees angels with swords all around him and standing there, these flaming swords, these angels. There's a war going on around you. And the amazing thing is Christians are usually casualties because they're casual in the Christian life. Casualty is what you are. Oh, you know, it's no big deal if I don't go to church this Sunday. And the demons sit there and go, it's no big deal if we go to church this Sunday. Got that one. That was easy. Didn't have to flatten their tire. Oh, you know what? No big deal if you don't read your Bible. You're busy this week. It's no big deal if I don't read a Bible this week. You know what? No big deal if you listen to that kind of music. It don't make any difference. It's what you like. And the angels sit there and swarm into the room as you listen to that music because they love that music, and the demons swarm in there. And if you play godly music, as you would find in Saul's case, the demons would flee when you play godly music. Get that trash out of your house. Get that trash out of your house. You're in a war. Don't say, I don't need to go to church. Don't say, no big deal if I don't pray. You know what? Pastor, you're fine if I don't pray. Sure about that? You want me to bring some Christians here who thought that and their pastors out of the ministry now? I can do that if you want. Oh, you know what? My kids will turn out good. I'm just going to tell them, be good. That'll work until they're two.
You're in a war.
And the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not fleshly, but spiritual, the pulling down of strongholds. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I believe, no, chapter 10, verse 4. You're in a war. Daniel was in a war, and he kept on praying. He said, I'm going to keep on praying, Lord, 8 days. I'm going to keep on praying, God, 10 days. And the angel's going, keep on praying, Daniel. I got to get through here. Keep on praying. He's still praying. The demon's going, good night. He's got to quit praying soon. Keep on praying. That prophecy's got to get through, Daniel. 18 days, 19 days, 20 days. God says, you know what? He's prayed enough. Michael, go down there. Tell that prince of Persia to take a long walk off a short pier. Pray, pray, pray. Good job, Daniel. Prayed long enough. The answer's come. And the answer came. I wonder if you quit praying, what will not happen? Who won't get saved? Who won't be transformed? What miracle won't happen? By the way, I believe this church has stored up a whole bunch of prayers for revival. That's why I know God's going to do a supernatural work here someday, because we prayed and God answers prayer. I don't know when it'll happen. Doesn't matter when it happens. God says, I'm sending the angels. I'm working in the hearts. I'm preparing the work. I'm going to do something real big. When he does it, I don't know. I just know we better not quit praying. Just keep on praying. Just keep on praying. Someday we won't be able to hold everybody in this building. Someday God's going to do a gigantic work unless we just say, oh, it's just going to happen because we got some great methods. And you know what? We don't really need to pray or work or win souls or read our Bibles or fight. We've got to fight. This war is not a physical war. It's a spiritual war. Keep on fighting. Michael came in and delivered this angel and let this angel in. Do you know what? By the way, where would you invest your most powerful demons if you were Satan? I'd put them in America. I'm not worried about Lithuania. Lithuania is not sending movies all over the world and music all over the world. I'm not worried about Albania or Rwanda. Those countries aren't worrying me. I'm not worried about France. Surrender. I'm not worried about Sudan. I'm not worried about Syria. I'm not too worried about Mexico. I'm not worried about those nations. If I can ruin America and I can make the Christians in America lukewarm, they're the ones who send forth the missionaries all over the world. They're the ones with all the money to send forth missionaries. They're the ones who have all the churches. They're the ones who everybody in the world gets their clothing and entertainment and lifestyles from. And you know what? They're the ones who print all the Bibles and send them around the world. Let me destroy America. Let me destroy America, and I'm in every computer in the world. Let me destroy America. We're in a war, and Seattle's in a war, and this world's in a war, and do not think it's not a war. There is an unseen war going around Daniel, and it was an amazing thing. Let me just say the last of all, but spend a little bit of time on it. Some Christians are really loved in heaven. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 10. Some Christians are really loved in heaven. Chapter 10, verse 11. The angel is talking to Daniel, and he gives him a whole bunch of... By the way, the story is that Daniel, the messenger, strengthens Daniel and then says, okay, Daniel, now that I'm strengthening you, let me give you a whole bunch of prophecy and all the details of what I told you in those four verses. Let me tell you about the future kingdoms of the world. Let me tell you about what's going to happen in the end times. Let me tell you about the Antichrist and his kingdom. Let me explain all this to you. I'll strengthen you so you can handle it. And he gets some of the most amazing prophecies. They are amazing that he gets here. But in chapter 10, verse 11, it says, and he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. I love that. The angel looked at Daniel and says, Daniel, you're the man who's greatly beloved. We love you. We love that guy. God in heaven saying, Daniel is greatly beloved. Go down and bless him. The angel is saying, man, I love Daniel. He keeps on praying and he's godly. He's awesome. I love Daniel. I love that guy. You know how you look at certain people and you say, I understand we love everybody and God loves everybody. But you know what? There's people I say, man, I love them, but I don't say, I love that guy. I just love that lady. No, some might say, I love him, but. Can you choke him and love him at the same time? Is that possible? Is that possible? Too many of you are nodding. You're making me nervous. God looks down and says, I love everybody, but I love Daniel. He says, the angel says, Daniel, you're greatly beloved by us angels and by God, and we you're greatly beloved. I want you to know, Daniel, we really love you. You know, some kids you love. Some kids you think of and you smile about, man, that kid is doing this. And other kids you look at it and say, what a brr. I want God to look at me and say, greatly beloved, instead of saying, they're saved and I love them, but ugh, frustrate me, man. Verse 11, he said unto me, Daniel, grand man, greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. He said, don't fear, Daniel, I'm come to help you. He says, verse 19. It says, and he said, O man, greatly beloved. Calls him greatly beloved again. O thou man, greatly beloved. What a wonderful thing. Go back to chapter 10. I'm sorry, go back to, let me take you to chapter, there's another verse here that says, it's chapter 9, verse 23. He says, the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I'm come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Three times an angel comes to Daniel and said, Daniel, you are greatly beloved, so we're going to bless you. I wonder how God feels about you. See, God look at you and say, I just love her. Man, the angels talk about you and say, I just love that lady. That lady prays. That lady is holy. That man walks with me. That man keeps on doing right. Or do you say, oh, man, do I have to go down and deal with them again? It's like, do I get overtime in heaven for dealing with per diem for being with this guy? Are you greatly beloved by God? Does God look at you and say, I just love that guy. That guy, that lady, that kid always prays, always goes to church, always fights a battle, loves to win souls. Does God look at you and say, oh, thou greatly beloved? The angels keep on saying that to Daniel. That's going to be pretty good. I like an angel to walk up and say, you know what? You're greatly beloved by us. But I fear if they walked up and said to me, they'd say, you're okay. We'll tolerate you. Don't get too close to me. I don't know. I don't know if I'm... God would just say, you're greatly beloved in heaven. How important was Daniel? How greatly beloved was he? It's an amazing thing. If you go to chapter 10, before I take you there, keep your finger in Daniel 10. Go to Revelation 12. We know how powerful Michael is. I want to show you just who he is. There's three archangels, Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer, that we know of in the Bible. Out of these, Michael, we always find fighting. Michael is the warrior angel. We always find him in charge of the warriors. In Revelation chapter 12, God never fights Satan until a battle of Armageddon because it's not a fair fight. God's omnipotent and the devil isn't. Verse 7, the devil tries to take over heaven. It says there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, that's Satan. And the dragon fought and his angels, the demons, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. And he was cast out of the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Basically, the devil said, I'm going to become God. And God says, oh, my soul. Michael, take care of my light work. And Michael and the angels fight the demons and Satan in a big war in heaven and just a massive battle. And finally, Michael takes Satan and throws him down to the earth. And Satan says, okay, if I can't take over heaven, I'm taking over the earth. And first thing I do is kill the Jews. And God says, okay, now you need to go down and protect Israel, Michael. Michael is this great angel who has the power to literally throw Satan out of heaven. And Satan's really powerful. But you know what's fascinating? We saw that Daniel in chapter 12 was there to watch out for Israel. But if you go back to Daniel chapter 10, talking to Daniel, an angel's talking to him. And he says in verse 21, a thing you can miss if you don't read closely back in this chapter 10, it says, and I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, that there is none that holdeth with me in these things, but Michael, what's the next two words? Your prince. What did I just say? It just said Michael is Daniel's personal angel. I guess you're greatly beloved. Why? Because you talk about a target on you. See, Daniel came into the Babylonian thing as a slave and grabbed that nation and shook it for God and said, Babylon, you're going to worship God. And Nebuchadnezzar said, I exalt the Most High God. And the whole nation got a rule that you cannot worship anybody but Daniel's God. And then Persia came along and Daniel grabbed not a nation, a kingdom that was over the entire known world and grabbed Persia and said, "You, I will pray to God no matter what happens." And the king said, nobody can worship anybody but Daniel's God. And Daniel's a great man of God. And he came in and king after king and leader after leader, Daniel shook kingdoms. And not a lot of people were doing anything else for God. And God said, Daniel, you're greatly beloved. Michael, keep watch for Daniel because he's got a target. He's a great man who's standing for me and being bold for me. Michael's your prince, Daniel. He's the one watching out for you. And you wonder, you have this, you have angels, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, I think it's verse 13. They're ministering spirits sent forth to minister those in the heir of salvation. Angels are here to be your servants and my servants and protect us as they did Elijah and Elisha and Lot and many of the people in the Bible. They protected them. And you have angels depending on what kind of target you are and depending on how much you need protection. Some of you, because you aren't going to shake a family or shake a city or rescue a church, or bring somebody to Christ, or pray, or fight in the battle, you got the little pipsqueak demon after you. And God's not too, it's like, you know what, but that little, the devil's not putting anything in there. He's got a 65-pound demon after him. You know what, send a little, send the angel in training to take care of him. But some of you, you might not know the greatness you have in you. And you might not understand. You might be just a little pipsqueak kid like I was at 16 years old trying to serve God, going, man, God must have got mixed up when he called me to be saved and wanted me to serve him because I'm a mess. And yet I know that I'm going to do great things for God someday. I didn't know that then. And I don't see it right now, the gigantic things that God will do someday. He's used me and I thank him for every bit. But you know what? I think I'm very important in God's kingdom. I think some of you ladies who know how to pray and some of you children who've got all of your lives in front of you and some of you people who are important to the cause of Christ and God's put a burden in your heart, you are very important. That's why you're under attack. That's why you've got to fight. Your family's relying on you. You're the Daniel left over. God's got to protect you because you're the one left over because no one else is fighting for those people except for you. I don't know those people that God put on your heart. I can't fight for them. I've got my own battles. Maybe nobody else is fighting for me but you, and you're fighting for me because I'm going to do great things for God for someday, and I'm not going to make it unless you fight for me. Maybe your husband or your wife or your children or maybe your neighbors or maybe your city or maybe your neighborhood or whatever it is, maybe some foreign country you got a great burden for, and even though you're never even going to go visit there, you're going to pray for that nation. I don't know what great things God has for you, but God has a great plan for every one of you, and you're in a war, and you've got demons after you, and you got to understand, you're in a spiritual war, and God sends angels to protect you, but those angels didn't get there a whole bunch until Daniel kept on praying. It's a war. And when you quit praying, you don't fight, you don't know what big plans God has for you. You don't know. Listen, D.L. Moody, one of our million souls, was the greatest evangelist in American history. But D.L. Moody was a good preacher and having people saved, but he had two old ladies in his church, and they said, Mr. Moody, we're praying for you. God's got a big work for you. And Mr. Moody says, God's already blessed me. And he says, every time I preach, I have 5 or 10 saved. He says, pray for the heathen to be saved. I don't need your prayers. God's already blessed me. And he said, no, Mr. Moody, you don't understand the ministry you have. God's spoken to us. Just two old ladies in his church. God's spoken to us, and you're going to do big things for God. And D.L. Moody didn't understand it, didn't grasp it, didn't seek after it. But one day, D.L. Moody was walking down Wall Street, and the power of God just started hitting him. And he said he was so under conviction, and such power was coming upon him, that he had to go into a friend's room. And he said, I got to go and be alone. And he said he felt wave after wave of power hitting him and hitting him and hitting him. And then he said after that, he would go and preach. And he'd preach the same message where he'd have 5 or 10 saved. He'd have 50 or 100 saved. And soon D.L. Moody was such a great man of God that literally no building can hold where he went, and he would preach and tens of thousands would come. Hey, those two ladies had a great plan. I bet you they were under attack by Satan. Satan's going, good night, those ladies can pray. Get them. They might not have been worried about Moody at the time. You're in a war. I want to be greatly beloved. Daniel was Israel's hope and had to get great messages from God. And so God said, oh man, greatly beloved, be strong. Oh man, greatly beloved, peace be with you. Oh man, greatly beloved, here's some strength. Oh man, greatly beloved, here's Michael, your prince, to watch over you. Do you ever get something stirring inside you that says God has something great for you? Understand, it's not going to happen just because you continue to inhale oxygen. It's going to happen from a war. And you fight. And God does great thing. And in verse 9, when he said, oh man, greatly beloved, that peaceful right there. Daniel, we love you. Don't worry about it. We're with you. Fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak. Listen, you don't need some new pill to give you strength. You don't need a new energy drink. Oh, if I did an energy drink, I'd be fine. You're in a war. And Rockstar, in any form, is not going to help you. You need strength from God. You need God's touch. Let's pray. Father, as we look at Daniel, greatly beloved, Lord, I pray we'd learn some lessons from Daniel 10 and from Daniel, Father, this man greatly beloved and this man in a war.